The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. John chapter 1, verse 5. Welcome to Echoes Through the Abyss, a place where the deepest valleys of human experience meet the unrelenting light of hope. In this world, many have walked through darkness, through trauma, loss, brokenness and despair. But even in the depths, even in the silence of the abyss, there are echoes. Echoes of survival, echoes of redemption, echoes of faith. Here we share real stories of people who have faced the darkness and found their way back to the light. Because no matter how deep the abyss may feel, hope still speaks. This is Echoes Through the Abyss podcast.
Hey, hey there, pod people. Thanks for tuning in to our third episode of Echoes Through the Abyss podcast. So this is, of course, our new formatted edition, no longer doing true crime. Well, we will, just not every week like we were doing before. We're jumping into like biblical stories, biblical everything, prayers for people, testimonies, all that fun stuff. At least I think it's fun because it's, you know, it's a good way to learn when you've been out of it for 30 years and can't really remember much about the Bible. So it's kind of makes you have to study a little bit, or me anyway. I think Ben just gets on and wings it. He listens to the Holy Spirit. That's all that matters. Okay, Benny Pooh, you want to pray us in?
Yes. God, we declare freedom over every listener, every chain, every lie, every weight. Break it in Jesus' name. Let truth rise. Let it flood in. Let lives be changed. We give you this moment completely. Amen.
Amen. So the topic for tonight is, we had Easter a couple weeks ago, and for those of you who don't already know, I had a stroke a few years ago, and I don't do well in crowds. And of course, Easter Sunday is like Super Bowl Sunday in the Christian world. So it's always like those people who only go to church once a year, that's the day they go. So I'm just like, I'm just going to sit at home and not deal with the crowd. So, but my church is live streamed, so we watched it on TV, and my dad was standing in the kitchen doorway just watching it with us a little bit. And he asked me a question, and I was dumbfounded because I didn't really have the answer. He asked, if God is God, why did Jesus have to die? And I was like, I couldn't say, because that's what I believe. So just like it, because that's not a way to get people to, you know, jump into it. So did a little bit of deep dive, and it's actually kind of fascinating because in the Bible, blood is equated to life, right?
Yes.
Thank you for answering. But honestly, this question is something I've asked myself too, because I mean, it's just like, you think God is this all-powerful, all-loving, all-knowing, omnipotent being, and why did he have to sacrifice his son in such a terrible way for us to be able to go to heaven and be saved and not have to worry about our sins? Well, it's all about the blood. If God is all powerful, you know, why can't he just forgive? Why was the cross necessary? And why was the suffering necessary? Because if you listen to our Easter sermon, we talked kind of in detail about how a crucifixion actually worked, and it's pretty nasty. I mean, it's probably the worst way you can be executed, in my opinion, anyway.
Yeah, it was horrendous.
Yeah. And Jesus did it knowingly. Like, he knew what was going to happen before it happened, and he still did it. But the thing about it is, God isn't just love. He's also just. And justice says that sin has a cost. But instead of making us pay it, he stepped down. God stepped down into the darkness himself in the form of Jesus Christ. And this is where the Holy Trinity is one being and three separate entities kind of comes into play, because I still try not to wrap my brain around it, because it just gives me a headache to think about it. So God stepped down into physical form through Jesus, and he's the one who paid our debt for us through Jesus. And on the cross, he didn't just die. He took our place. He took our guilt. He took our shame. He took our punishment. He took it all because he loves us so much. And Some people might say that's weakness, but that's love with a price. And because the cross is where justice was satisfied and mercy was unleashed. So technically, Jesus didn't die because God had no choice. He died because God looked at us and he said, I'd rather take the pain than lose you. And by him saying that, it means that we're not too far gone. You know, we're not too broken. We're not too lost because our price for all that has already been paid.
Right, God has rules. Like when the Jewish people were given the rules from God, you know, as far as how to atone for sins, part of that was sacrifice, right? And he wanted blood atonements for the sins from his chosen people. And the animals that they gave for the atonements were supposed to be unblemished, right? So Jesus was like the perfect Lamb of God. The highest sins were paid for by the Lamb, right? So,
He was sinless.
right. So he was the highest payment of sin, being a lamb and being spotless, sinless. So, you know, it's important to look at the Jewish tradition given by God of sacrifice for the sins, and then also you want to look at Isaac, right? Like the sac where he was supposed to sacrifice Isaac. Abraham was supposed to sacrifice Isaac, and he was going to kill him per God's will. And he last second, the angel of the Lord, which some people say is Jesus, said, "Don't kill Isaac. There's a ram in the thistles, right? And then there's a perfect sin or a unblemished ram for him to slaughter in the thistle." So there's a lot of premonition of Christ to come. Right. And then I think another important factor for looking at the fulfillment of that justice, right, is God knows everything, and it's kind of like the way the world all works together. Like we need honeybees for the world to survive, and we need the moon for the tide to happen. So like without it, like everything's so precise. God already knew that we were going to eat from the tree in the Garden of Eden, right? Like he already knew that was going to happen. And so he already had the plan perfectly laid out. And then a lot of people are like, well, why did he even let us sin? Like, which is also kind of in the same vein of like, why would Jesus be sacrificed? But it's like it all comes down to that wanting to be loved. God wants us to love him and choose him for him. He doesn't want to control us, and free will is a huge part of this. God gave us free will because there's no value to him to be loved by us if we don't have choice. And because of that, he made this plan to where he could have us with him forever, but also pay the price of the sin. And
And
like,
Jesus had free will too. He chose to do this for us,
absolutely.
knowing fully well exactly what was going to play out and how
Absolutely.
excruciating it was going to be. Yes, it was. It all kind of goes back to what Ben was saying. It's about the blood sacrifices. But because Eve was obviously the first sinner who just messed it up for the world and had made Jesus had to pay that terrible price for what she did and for what she unleashed into the world. Blood is the well, when she did that, God sacrificed an innocent animal because innocent blood is what purifies, but because it was an animal, it didn't last. And this is where I get a little confused. Like it had to be, and actually I'm gonna play a little clip from my pastor from our Sunday sermon because he talks about the blood sacrifice that has to happen in order for us to be cleansed and forgiven. And he does it so much better than what I'm going to do right now. Let me pull that up real quick.
Had to be killed so that we could be healed from sin and from death. And from the very first sin, I want to show you something as we're headed to the runway. The Bible talks about the foolishness of preaching. The Bible talks about how this is all a mystery to those who don't believe. I pray the Holy Spirit will help us explain the mystery. If he don't explain it, we won't get it. But from the first sin, you see, in that garden, blood from the innocent was required for the guilty. Let me show you. In John 3:21, This is after Adam and Eve's sin. And God, the Lord God, made clothing from animal skins for Adam and his wife. You see, Adam and Eve had sinned. And to cover their sin, God killed an innocent animal. That started the blood sacrifice. And notice Leviticus 17:11. For the life of the body is in its blood. See, the life of your body, the life of my body is in its blood. And so he goes on to say, and I have given you the blood on the altar to purify you, making you right with the Lord. It is the blood given in exchange for a life that makes purification possible. And in the New Testament, in Hebrews chapter 9, notice what it says here in verse 18. That is why even the first covenant was put into effect with, everybody say, the blood. See, the blood of an animal. For after Moses had read each of God's commandments to all the people, he took the blood of calves and goats along with water and sprinkled both the book of God's law and all the people using hyssop branches and scarlet wool. Then he said, this blood confirms the covenant God has made with you. And in the same way, he sprinkled blood on the tabernacle and everything used for worship. In fact, according to the law of Moses, nearly everything was purified with blood. Listen to this. For without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. So from the first sin, blood from the innocent was required for the guilty. But here's the issue. But all those animal sacrifices were insufficient to pay the price for our sin. Basically, that whole old covenant, the people never were really forgiven of their sin. What they would do is every year they would go sacrifice all these animals, and that would just push their sins forward for another year so God's wrath wouldn't devour them. So there was a purpose for the animal blood, but it never cleansed the people. Notice this in Hebrews 10, verse 1. The old system under the law of Moses was only a shadow, a dim preview of the things to come, not the good things themselves. The sacrifices under that system were repeated again and again, year after year, but they were never able to provide perfect cleansing for those who come to worship. If they could have provided perfect cleansing, the sacrifices would have stopped, for the worshipers would have been purified once and for all time, and their feelings of guilt would have disappeared. But instead, those sacrifices actually reminded them of their sins year after year, for it is not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. That is why Christ came into the world. He said to God, you did not want animal sacrifices or sin offerings, but you have given me a body to offer. You were not pleased with burnt offerings or offerings for sin. Then I said, look, I have come to do your will, O God. As it is written about me in scriptures, first Christ said, you did not want animal sacrifices or sin offerings or burnt offerings or other offerings for sin, nor were you pleased with them, though they are required by the law of Moses. Then he said, look, I have come to do God's will for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time. Under the old covenant, the priest stands and ministers before the altar day after day, offering the same sacrifices again and again, which can never take away sins. But our high priest offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for sins, good for all time. Then he sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. You see, Jesus did what nobody else could do. 1 Peter 1:18. For you know, I hope you know this. If you don't, I pray the Holy Spirit will press it upon your heart. He says, for you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which lose their value. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. Amen. Salvation's not free. It cost heaven everything. It's free to me and you, but it cost him everything. That's why Jesus said this at the Last Supper in Matthew 26:27. And he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. He gave it to them and said, each of you drink from it, for this is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It is poured out as a sacrifice to forgive the sins of many. And then in Ephesians 1:7 says, he is so rich in kindness and grace. Aren't you glad our God is rich in kindness and grace? That he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave our sins. I say all that to say, I've had people ask me this. Maybe you've had people ask you this. What's a man's death have 2,000 years ago have anything to do with me? Everything. If anybody ever asked you, what's a man dying to the everything? Jesus' execution was for our restitution. We are the motive for the murder, folks. That motive should absolutely motivate us into a response. So God set up a plan to forgive man. What is it? The innocent must die for the guilty. And the Bible says blood represents life. And the life of the innocent pays the penalty for the guilty. Why? Why innocent? Because innocence equals purity, see? And God is pure, and therefore only purity can be in God's presence. So in the Old Testament, innocent animals were sacrificed so the people could come in without getting killed, but they were never made right. And the Bible says their sacrifice could never pay the price for our sin. Only one innocent life could really pay the price, and that price was Christ. On the cross, Jesus covered the cost for our sin. So I want to end with this. So what do we do? Maybe you've never accepted Christ. Maybe you're...
We'll get to that in a minute. This topic always makes me cry. Stop my share. There we go. Okay. Now I'm going to put a link to this whole sermon because it's actually really good. He made it as like a true crime episode. Ben, you want to start with, I guess, two, and we'll just go on.
Sure. God's love, he paid the price himself. Instead of making you pay the price, God chose to pay it himself. That's where Jesus comes in. Jesus lived a sinless life, took the punishment we deserved, died in our place. This is called substitution. He was pierced for our transgressions, Isaiah 53:5. So the cross is where justice and love meet.
And why death specifically? Because the consequence of sin is death, not just physical, but spiritual separation from God. Jesus didn't just suffer. He fully took on the penalty of sin. And with his last breath, he said, "It is finished," or "Tetelestai." That's John 19:30, which means the debt was paid in full. And so why not another way? Well, if God skips justice, he isn't holy. And if God skips love, we're all lost. So God made a way where he remains just and he saves us anyway.
What it means for you? This isn't just theology, it's personal. It means you don't have to earn forgiveness. You're not too broken. The price has already been paid. Salvation is a gift, not something you achieve. Simple way to say it, Jesus didn't die because God couldn't forgive. He died because God chose to forgive at a cost he paid himself.
We're talking God in the form of Jesus did this for us.
Amen. Maybe something in this episode stirred something in you. Maybe you feel free or feel it right now. That pull in your heart. That's not emotion. That's God calling you. You don't have to clean yourself up first. You don't have to have all the answers. You just have to come. Jesus meets you right here in the mess, in the pain, in the darkness. The Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So if that's you, if you're ready to surrender, ready to be made new, pray with us. Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I've fallen short, but I believe you died for me, and I believe you rose again. Right now, I turn away from my old life, and I turn to you. Come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Wash me clean. Make me new. I give you everything I am and everything I'm not. From this moment on, I belong to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
And if you just prayed that, your life has changed. I mean, you may not feel anything physically, but spiritually, it's changed. This is how he makes you a new creation. You know, you're not who you were. You've been forgiven. You are chosen and you're his. And this is just the beginning. So as cheesy as it is, welcome out of the abyss and into the light. And if you'd like to reach out to us and share your story, or if you need someone to pray with you and or for you, please reach out to us at throughtheabysspodcast@gmail.com. Welcome out of the abyss and into the light. And this is kind of short because, well, I thought it was, since we had just done an Easter episode, that's kind of, maybe that question should be answered because it's kind of important. Because I know if I had been asking it previously, I know other people had, and my dad's proof of that because he asked me to, and I didn't have a good answer for it. So I hope if you're one of the people who had that question that this helped you, and, you know, just get into the Bible and start reading. And like Isaiah 53:5 says again, he was pierced for our transgressions. While we were all sinners, Christ died for us, Romans 5:8. And again, with his final breath, he said, it is finished, or tetelestai, which means the debt is paid. Do you have anything else, Benny Pooh?
No, but remember that this is all because of the love of God, right? The extreme love of God. And that's something that you can hold on to even when life seems like you don't have anything else, which I know can happen from time to time.
And he's always there, even if you feel alone, he's there.
True.
Just reach out to him. And crying is normal because my pastor says the closer he gets to Jesus, the bigger of a sissy he gets, which is kind of how I get to. I cry like at the drop of a hat now. So, but it's good because I think it's the Holy Spirit moving you.
For sure.
So that is going to be it for tonight. We'll have a longer episode next week. But thank you so much for tuning in, and we love you guys. God bless you. And we will see you next week.
God bless. So come on, my soul.
As this episode comes to a close, remember this. No matter how deep the valley, no matter how heavy the darkness may feel, hope still lives. Thank you for listening to Echoes Through the Abyss podcast, where stories from the darkest places remind us that redemption, healing, and faith are always possible. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Psalm Chapter 30, verse 5. So come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. Cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Oh, come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. Cause you've got a until next time, keep walking toward the light.